Thank the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. I was glad to say to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know, I'm happy today. And I remember a time back a long time ago when I was a little boy where I might have thought just a little different. But the Lord's made a change in me and I enjoy this place. And I thank the Lord for all the blessings that I receive and all. We want to look to the Lord in prayer before we get started here. Dear Lord, we thank you for this moment, dear God, and we just recall all the times you have blessed, and we're asking you to be with us again today, dear Lord, that this is your word, and we pray by your Spirit you would reveal it to us and help us to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I want to talk today, burden the Lord's given us, is about the indwelling Holy Spirit. You pray for us. I love the Lord. And I love His Holy Spirit. I love what it means to me. I love what it means to anyone who receives the Spirit in their life. This truly receives the Spirit. And the burden the Lord has given us this morning is to focus on the indwelling nature of the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason behind it, and we'll try to share as the Lord helps us. But we want to start off by saying that everything that God does, Satan offers a substitute. And our burden this morning is that there is a substitute prevalent in our world today. And it tries to mimic this, but it's not the Holy Spirit of God. And so we'll start off by saying that's the burden the Lord has given us, and we need the Lord to help us desperately. And so we pray that you would have mercy and pray for us, and God would be with us. I want to just start with the verse here over in Acts, the 19th chapter. And I might say that it has been said before that one of the greatest struggles in the Christian church and God's church and God's people and His flock is when there is a lack of understanding, a lack of taking hold of this truth, a lack of yielding to this truth. And that's almost a statement. I want to say it because it's not something I came up with. I've heard it said through the times that I've been alive and been around. I've heard that mentioned sometimes in the struggles that have been there, that we see a lack of that maybe. And because when there is a lack of getting a hold of the Spirit and allowing Him to work in our life, then there is a manifestation of carnality. And there's so many ways we could come at this, but let's just think about it that way. When there's a lack of understanding the need for the Holy Spirit and Him dwelling inside of me, then there is an automatic subsequent rise in carnality. We are not excluded from that because we're of the Church of God and we understand that there is a Holy Spirit. That's great to understand, but when there's a lack of taking hold and allowing Him to work in our life, just as in anyone else who is human, there is a rise in carnality. So, like I said, I need the Lord help us because there are so many rabbit trails, and I'm very susceptible to rabbit trails. And I don't know if you know what that means, but we want to be focused this morning, and we want to get to what the Lord has for us, okay? So, but I want us to understand that. Carnality is not good in any manner. It never benefits anything. We have this thing that we say, well, it makes me feel better. Give it a second. So all I'm going to say about that, give it a second and be honest. It never does. It always destroys because carnality is of the devil. It's of Satan. It's something he has his hands on. And what does he come to do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Therefore, that is what carnality will always do. So this morning, we want to understand the need for the Holy Spirit and not for a substitute, because a substitute will never heal carnality. It will never give us the victory over carnality. That's why in the midst of this substitute, if you're around it very much or in the presence of it very much and you see what it manifests in people's life, it does not manifest the righteousness of God. It manifests something different, something that looks a lot like carnality. And that is not something we want working in our life. That does not bring us closer to God. It puts a wall between us and God and between happiness and joy and blessings of the Holy Ghost. All right, so this morning, let's look in Acts 19 in the first verse. And it said, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And I don't know if Paul said, "Hi, how are you doing? How's things going?" I don't know what all conversation was had between him and these people, but the first thing we have recorded that Paul said to them is, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" There's an emphasis on this and an importance because we need it. Because it's what we need it desperately, and I want to say this the correct way, but this is what Okay, let's say it this way. This is why Christ left the earth. It's why he did not just stay here. He showed. What did he show? He died. He went. He died on the cross. He went in the grave. He rose from the grave. And then he stayed on earth for 40 days. Why did he do that? I believe part of why he did it is to show, if I needed to, I could do this. I could stay here. If this is what's best, I could stay and I could walk with you. I could be around you. But this is not what is needed. There's something more than this that's needed. There's something that I came to fulfill and set up so it could happen for you. And what was that? The Holy Spirit is why he said in one place, and we don't really have that verse this morning, but you can find it in John where it says, I must leave. I must go away. Because if I do not go, then the Comforter will not come. So it's imperative that he show us that he could have stayed here. He could have walked around with us, but that's not what was best. There was something more needed, and it's called the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in the hearts of men. All right? And so the first question that Paul said here, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe?" Thank the Lord. "And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So these were people who had taken hold of the fact of a need for repentance and had repented and they were believing in God and all, but yet there was a lack, there was a need of something else in their life. And so he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." And so, I have to stop here, because one of the manifestations that's being claimed in the world, and this is kind of a little bit of an aside, but when we come across it, I want to address it, is that there is this thing called speaking in tongues. What is done and called is not what happened in the Bible, y'all. We won't spend a lot of time on that this morning, but I'm going to tell you, it's part of the devil's manifestation of his imitation. He's trying to put out there and show and put in place of the Holy Ghost. And if that is something that is yielded to, it's part of a whole grander scheme that will prevent someone from truly finding the Holy Spirit in their life. Therefore, it will prevent them from gaining the victory over carnality. Therefore, it will prevent them from having victory, peace, and happiness, and joy in the Lord. It will not manifest the righteousness of Christ in their life. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but that's all that we want to say about that this morning, okay? And we want to go back to see that there was something more for these folks. They were believing in God. They had come to repent and all, but yet there was a need for something more. Paul laid his hands on them and prayed for them, and they received it after they had been baptized in the name of Jesus. because it's through Jesus that we have this precious Holy Spirit. All right? So we want to turn over here in Matthew. One of the things that I feel determined in my heart not to do is to not give the devil an inch. Because he has a substitute, he has the substitute and he can have it. He can do whatever he wants to with it. We don't want it, but we don't want him to steal a bit of what the Holy Ghost really means to us. So we want to talk about that for just a moment, okay? Matthew 18. All right, 18, and we're going to read the 20th verse. It says here, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, with the help of the Lord, we want to delve into this particular verse just a little bit here. One of the ways that Satan is trying to substitute is he's trying to take this substitute that he has, put it out there, make it come over a whole group of people, and they all begin to seem what they call spiritual and all these things, what is called. This is something, we're in a battle for our brothers and sisters. And some of our brothers and sisters are in that thing. The whole human race, I've said this before, I remember last message I had here to remind us that we are all the children of God. We're all meant to be adopted into his family. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. So we don't look on this with, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood this morning. All right, we have souls who are wrapped up in this thing, and we want to see them free. We want to see them know what it truly means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? And so, but one of the ways is that it comes over the whole group. And so then as the Spirit, those who truly have received the Spirit of God, we can see that we begin to have, we don't want to see anything like that here. Well, we don't want to see that here. But there is a truth about the Holy Spirit of God that it moves amongst his people. And we refuse to lose that. We refuse to lose the anointing of the Holy Ghost moving amongst us, blessing us as a group, not just individually, but as a group and experiencing that encouragement, that blessing that comes from that. So we refuse this morning to let go of that. We know that the Lord wants to move amongst us as a group. As we come meeting together in his name, the Lord said he would be in our midst. What this means here is two or three meeting in my name. Now, I've shared this, and I feel like, I'm like, Lord, how many times am I going to share this? I feel like I'm almost repeating, but you know what? I trust him, not my impression. But in his name means in his authority, subject to who he is. And there's a truth in that that means that's a soul that has yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, who is truly in his individual life, being led and guided and directed by the Spirit of God. And when you have two or three of those kind of people come together, the Lord said, I'm going to be in the midst of them, and I'm going to move amongst them. And there's going to be a blessing that's poured out as a body and as a group, and we want to enjoy that and be thankful for it and let it lift our spirits up and encourage us as we go out into the world where we do not experience that. So we want to be encouraged by that, and we do not want Satan to take that from us this morning. So there is definitely a moving from the Spirit that moves amongst us, and we want to encourage the Lord to have his way in that and to bless us with that. But we don't want a substitute. We don't want a substitute. And it's been mentioned several, I think Brother Rod mentioned in just speaking up here, maybe it was yesterday, how that when there's a soul, and I won't get the words exactly right, but when it's sung from in here, what a blessing to hear that, to hear there being an inspiration from in here and it's sung out. And you see, that's the difference. The substitute cannot do that. It will never do that for you. It comes from the outside and external and tries to make something happen and move amongst people. And they like, oh, this is one. It's so much less than what God has for you. So much less than what he has for you. But when he's inside of us and he's blessing us and he's speaking to our hearts and we allow that to come out, we allow ourselves to offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise, then we are allowing the Lord to bless us together. So we want to encourage us that we are not here to, I do not believe we need to try to say, just say, praise God. But we need to try to get in a place with Him where He is living in our hearts and lives, and He is putting things in there that we then do not need to clam up. In fact, the Bible tells us when that's the situation, the Lord's dwelling in our souls and He's blessing us, that the world needs to hear it. The world needs to hear us. They need to hear us opening our mouth and offering that sacrifice of praise. And definitely the body of Christ needs to hear it. And that can be so many different ways. We don't have to try to make it one thing or another. We're not talking about how it needs to manifest itself. We're talking about having that relationship, having that spirit inside of you, and not clamming it up. Being willing to share it, what the Lord has done for you. And we feel like we can't hardly emphasize that enough. I think about a lot of songs, and there's actually a particular song, and I just don't know that I'll share it this morning, but there's some songs about the Holy Spirit. And there's actually some new songs out there about the Holy Spirit, and I was considering some of them, and I thought, you know, if you sing that about yourself, then that's a good song. That's a really good song. If you're singing that about just a body of people coming together and you looking for some external thing to come down and all of a sudden do something that's not coming from a place in here where there's been something going on all week, then that's not a good song. That's not the way it should be used. So I want us to really get a hold of that this morning. We're talking about the indwelling nature of the Spirit of God. All right, John 14. John 14, and I will say this, that part of what that spirit, that imitation that Satan has, he always has a goal, and he has a goal that the righteousness of God would not be manifest. And so it's making people, without having to do what's necessary to have the Spirit of God inside of you, there's a part of us that maybe we wouldn't say, and I'm not saying we necessarily so much, but as a human, we wouldn't say, I don't want the Spirit of God. But then we manifest by not being willing to take the steps necessary. We look at the steps and we say, maybe there's a different way. Without even saying that, but in our minds, if our hearts aren't given to truly doing what the Lord has said we have to do to receive His Spirit, then we're going to settle for a substitute. And we're going to miss what God's trying to do in our life. And so here it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the things that is doing is beginning to break down the need to keep commandments of God. All of His commandments are good and true, and they all should be kept. All right? And so this word keep here means to guard, to put a watch over it. It means that I may not know everything about God, but what I do know, I signify is important to put a guard over in my life and to set my heart to follow to the best of my ability and to seek God for an ability I do not have to fulfill what I just, to know that there's a bridge that has to be made. As I set my heart on doing this, that I'm going to fall short unless God comes in and helps me. That has to be part of it. We can't do it by ignoring the commandments, and we can't do it by just trying to keep them just in ourselves and not confessing that there's a need for something more. That I believe with all my heart, the door to the Holy Spirit working in our life involves acknowledging His commandments and then acknowledging the need we have for something greater than who we are. Because in that, without even knowing that we're confessing that we need the Spirit in our life, is what we're doing. We're confessing that we need His presence to be able to help us to fulfill His commandments. Not just to make us feel good, not just to pat us on his back, not just to tell us, oh, don't worry about that, but to help us fulfill his righteousness. Because if we delve deeper and deeper, the Spirit just continues to show us that he's all about fulfilling the Lord's righteousness in our lives. That's his purpose and why he came. All right? So it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right? And it's directly hinged. Our Lord, in his very next words, said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Abide means to take up a residence. Abide is more than just a shroud and just a covering and just something that just kind of comes over us for a time and a certain moment or something in our life, however transient. Abide means to take up residence inside. If I come to your house and I abide with you, I'm not hanging out in the yard, all right? I'm living in your house with you. That's what that word means. So this again is signifying that there is something, there is an indwelling nature to the Holy Spirit, that that's where it's to be, that he is to abide within us, okay? And so you can't have him unless you're willing to lay down who you are, because you take up too much room in this house. In the sense of who you are, your flesh and your carnality, you take up too much room, and there is no room for the Holy Spirit unless you are willing to lay down who you are, to take him out in that old yard and put him up on that cross and nail him to that cross that's in your yard, your cross that you're supposed to take up every day. Unless you're willing to do that, there is no substitute. There is no way around it. You will not be able to receive the Holy Spirit. He will not be able to work in your life. And as I receive the Holy Spirit, if I come to a place in my life and I refuse to take that bit of flesh that we find somewhere in my house, we're going to find some, all right? If I refuse to take it and nail it to the cross, the Holy Spirit can't work. It's in the way. It's taking up too much room. I have to be willing to take it outside, put it on the yard. And I say that because I'm going to have to keep him on that cross. He's going to try to come down off it and come back in and take back up residence. And I'm going to have to be willing to keep him on that cross. And if I am willing to do that, then the Holy Spirit can work. I don't have to understand all the, I say it like mathematical equations as to how he works in our life. I don't have to understand that. I just have to understand I have to be willing to take me out of this house, put him on the cross, and keep him there so that the Holy Spirit can work in my life and give me the victories I need and cause his righteousness to be manifest in my life. So, even the Spirit of truth, okay, I will pray to the Father, he shall give you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. He is not just a he is coming to stay. He is coming to live with you and take you all the way to heaven. It says in one place, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. He is here to stay and to walk with us. And you talked about, you know, the devil tries to say, well, you're going to have something good over there in a while. No. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's coming to dwell with you and stay with you day by day, every day, and to seal you unto the day of redemption and just carry you home, walk with you all the way to the gates of glory, so to speak, to walk right in with you. And thank the Lord that he's coming to stay with us. He's not just an emotional whatever of, you know, here and there through the week, but he is to dwell with us day by day, every moment of the day, every hour. There's an old song that says, every day, every hour, right down to the minute. And that's what the Lord came to do for us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He is that vehicle. There's no other. No other way the Lord's going to be with you 24 hours a day, so to speak. He's around you. His presence is everywhere, but in you, through his Holy Spirit, and dwelling with you, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Oh, there's so much in that, but the Lord didn't give me that. But of truth, the truth shall set you free. Truth is the rock. It's the stability. It's the thing we stand on. It's what keeps us in this life. He is the Spirit of truth. The truth is, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Therefore, once again, even just having this word, we still have something we're missing. Because we need the Spirit of truth in our life to be able to help us know how to stand on this rock. In one place it says he is the one who would write it on our hearts. This is how he would do this, all right? And so even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The indwelling nature of this Holy Spirit. There's so much in it, and you might say, well, why are we, okay, the Holy Spirit's inside. Well, what does that mean? Once again, it means I have to give up. See, everything else, every substitute doesn't make me give up who I am to allow him to take over. But this Holy Spirit does. And if we want it, that's what we have to be willing to do. For he shall be in you, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Lord, help us. Our carnality will blind us. We could put the world and carnality and share that word together, and it all is wrapped up together. All right, the world is not people who have not grown up in the church of God. The world is carnality. And carnality won't see the Spirit for what it is. If we're given to carnality in any way in our life, that's why it's so important. He says, forgive your brother. Because to not forgive is carnal. It's not spiritual, it's carnal. To not forgive your brother. How many times? 70 times 7. Because it's not about just performing an act. It's about eliminating carnality out of your life. Oh, Lord, help us. Yes, amen. Oh, Lord, help us to get a hold of that. Because that little truth there can be the difference between allowing the Holy Spirit to work and being so close to being successful, but not making it. All right? It's not about an act that you were able to perform one time, two times, three times. It's about an elimination of carnality having any place at all in your life. Because where there is carnality, the Holy Spirit of God cannot be seen. It cannot work. He'll be there trying to, but we're going to miss it. We're not going to see it. You know, this is part of why the Pharisees missed what they missed, even though they had so much, is because there was carnality present. All right? We need to be willing to lay down, not just one time, not just two times, but that 70 times 7 is about a complete illumination. It's gone. Wherever it shows up, Lord, help me not to see it for the little act it is, but for the fact that it's carnality, and it will stop me from seeing the Spirit. It will eliminate the Spirit's ability to work in my life. Therefore, I'm willing to lay it down, not one time, not two times, not because anybody else needs it, but because I do. Because I need it. It's desperate to me because I need the Lord in my life. That's why I'm laying it down. Somebody said, well, you're just so kind, so nice. You know what? I love you, but it's really not about you. In this situation, I'm happy you're getting a blessing from the fact that I'm forgiving you. But the reason I'm doing it is because if I don't, I'm going to lose my soul is what's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit's the only one that knows how to carry me safe home to glory. All right? So Lord, help us. He shall dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 7. Yes, John 7 and 38. All right, in 37 of the 7th chapter, we'll start in the 37th verse, actually. And it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So once again, the Lord is the only way. Through Jesus, we can have this that's coming, because this is going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. All right, but I want us to see that. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. You know what? The imitations of Satan can never satisfy the thirst of the soul. They put a mimic out there, and people, and I don't know, sometimes it's like some people could probably see it in my eyes before I knew the Lord, and I feel like you can see it in people's eyes. They go, well, we've got this, we've got this, we've got this, but yet there's a hunger. There's something that's missing. There's something that's not quite there. You know what? In your life this morning, the Lord came to fulfill, to give you something that you don't have to thirst. You face problems, you face situations, you go through things, but you don't walk through them thirsty, because the Holy Spirit is within you. And it's a, it, what does it say here? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, people say, well, maybe you should be thirsty. How are you not thirsty? Well, because it's welling up from inside. It's not something I'm trying to take in from the outside. I'm not trying to come in. I have all these needs. I come into church and I'm trying to just take it in from the outside. Because until I yield to the Holy Spirit, that's all I can do is try to take care of it from the outside. And I'm thirsty again. I'm thirsty again because there's no source within me. I'm having to go back and try to get something to drink and something like that. But he that believeth on the Lord, out of his belly shall flow. How does it say? I don't want to get it wrong at all. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So my thirst is quenched, and then it's flowing out. It's something that actually begins. I become a source, in a way, of a taste of that water in the world out there that's thirsty. That's thirsting. That's, what is it? What is it you've got? Well, look, it's not anything. I'm not anything special, except that I've just yielded to the Lord, and I'm allowing Him to work in my life, and you can do the same thing. This is for everyone, the whole human race. This is what the Lord intended for all of us. But it can't. There's no way to have it except through Jesus. Believing in Him, yielding to Him, submitting to Him, pushing myself out of the way so that He can come dwell in my heart. What does it say here? It says, but this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's needful, He said, that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Right? So thank the Lord for that. All right, Romans 14. All right, 14, and let's look at this 17th verse. All right, we'll just kind of pick this verse out of this chapter, but it has a importance to us. I want to start this off, and we're going to talk about a few more verses, but the kingdom of God that's within us is within us by the Holy Spirit of God, okay? So that's why we're bringing this verse up, and let's look at it a little bit. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not an external thing. Meat and drink, what do we go and we partake of those, and well, it's, you know, that was good. It was good for a time. And, you know, this evening I'll be back and hopefully you got some more for me. All right? And it's all about satisfying the external. That's what meat and drink is representing here, okay? All right? That's not what the Holy Spirit of God. It's not about satisfying the external. It does. You make the cup clean and the outside will be clean. But it's not. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's limited to. And that's not the way it starts. It starts from within here and comes out, okay? So it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, I can sit here not because I know everything or am able to see everybody's life, but because the Word of God tells me and experience tells me that the Holy Ghost is the only one that can give us these things. We want righteousness. We want to see it. Lord, I'm not happy. You know, the sinner might say, oh, you know, I'm enjoying myself. The soul is not happy in sin. The soul longs for righteousness. Why? Because God created it that way, and no matter what you do, you can't change what God has put in the soul. And it will always hunger for the righteousness of God to somehow be, I want to be good. What does Paul say? I see what's good and I try to do it and it falls short and I can't do it. And miserable man that I am, who will free me from this body of sin? Who will free me from this cycle? All right? The soul longs for righteousness. Today, if somehow we're not letting the Spirit and we feel that longing inside of us, the Lord came to fulfill that. Through His Holy Spirit dwelling in you is how He's going to do it. Peace. That was one of the big things for me. I don't know about you, but I wanted everything the Lord had, but there were some things that really stood out to me. And I was tired of not being at peace. I wanted peace in my life. You know, the Holy Spirit gave me peace, And he works to bring me peace. As I walk through situations and I face things that bring new fears or new troubles into my life, he gives me peace in those things. When I let him work, I'm telling you, I had experience in the last couple of years, and I've been saved for, at this point, 20-something years, and I walked through something, and it was battling to steal my peace. What's going on there? Satan's battling to take away the Holy Spirit out of my life somehow. He said, well, in that moment, would it have been taken away? Maybe not. But he was working to break it down. He was working to break down its works and try to get me to fall back to some kind of carnality. Because there's that temptation to just give in. This, woe is me. But in the midst of the Lord began just talking with me. And I could feel him calling me saying, just wait. Just wait at my feet about this. You're troubled, but just bring it to me and just sit here and wait and let me show you what I'm going to do. And the Lord through that gave me another victory in my life and again manifested his peace in a greater way. You see, we've got to follow this process for the rest of our lives because he's here to walk with us for the rest of our life, to abide forever. And every situation we come to, things that seem so innocent, fear is not of the Lord. It's not. He tells us that. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So all these ways that Satan tries to get in and break down the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we want to be wise to that, not allow that to happen. Because the Holy Spirit came to bring us peace inside. All right? And then joy in the Holy Ghost. Once again, we said we're not letting, because, let me just go this. I won't go back over that. But Satan tries, through his imitation, to steal stuff from us. When we're not yielding to the imitation, he's trying to steal because we're afraid to be joyful. We're so afraid. We don't want to see any of that in us. The Holy Spirit gave you joy, and he didn't give you joy for you to sit on it. All right? He gave you to experience it. And if you experience joy, then the people around you should be experiencing some joy. And if not, maybe you need to pray to the Lord about what is it that's blinding me to this in my life. You don't want to say it, but it might be carnality. I don't know. I'm just saying, be careful about pushing back who the Holy Spirit is in your life. For whatever reason you're doing it, allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Allow him to create what he came to create in you. All right? Do not allow Satan to steal from you the joy of the Holy Ghost. All right? So, the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. And I want to get a verse from over here in Luke 17 now about the kingdom of God. Luke 17 and 20, and it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. This means ocular evidence. This means it's not an external thing. It does not come from the external, all right? It's not something you see and like that, all right? It says, neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? The kingdom of God, his kingdom that's established by his Holy Spirit in our life, comes from within, in here. We can never get it by just trying to manifest out here. It's got to be something where we're yielding to the Lord, pushing aside carnality, and letting him work in here. There is no substitute for it, because this is where the kingdom of God is. We sing about, his kingdom and being a part of his kingdom. Are we? I thank God. I know in my heart. I know that I'm a part of the kingdom of God and I see the manifestations of his kingdom in his people. Thank God. It's in here. It's never from the outside. It's from here and letting the Holy Spirit work in our life. Amen. And so I wanted to pick one more verse here I'm sorry, I said that like it was my last verse, y'all. I'm getting close, but I'm not done yet. Well, don't feel like the Lord's done yet. All right, Romans 8. Romans 8 and the 14th verse says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want to bring the sons of God are obviously those who are a part of his kingdom. All right? So if we're a part of his kingdom, it occurs by being led by his Holy Ghost inside of us. Can we make that connection through those verses there with the help of the Lord? So we want to allow that to happen. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, because it says another place in this chapter, it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's some more depth to that than just being led by the Holy Spirit. But we want to make that clarity here to understand that you have to let God work inside of you. That's where it has to come from. And it comes from there by his Holy Spirit. All right, Luke 24. Luke 24, and we will go to the 49th verse. All right? And it says here, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. What was this promise? Jesus was there. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this is what's getting ready to happen. I'm getting ready to send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This Holy Spirit from the presence of God coming down from heaven, not just to externally put something over on top of us, but to dwell inside of us. Not a power that's just out here, but a power that dwells within us to change our life and to manifest his righteousness. All right, and so it says in Acts, the second chapter. At second chapter of Acts and the first verse. The first verse of the second chapter of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, there's a direct correlation here, if you look at the timeline and all, as to after they came out of Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai and the Lord came down with the tablets and all that and established the old covenant. It's the same time frame as you look at it as to when the day of Pentecost came after Jesus, okay? And after his work that he had done to establish the new covenant. So there's a reason why this happened at this time and in this manner. Because if you look through the Bible, you never find again in the old covenant where God came down on Mount Sinai and repeated that whole experience. He established something there, just as he established something here, okay? And so it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the establishing of his covenant. Just like they came to Mount Sinai and everything got established there now for you to go on and live in my old covenant. This was the moment where God came and established his new covenant by his Holy Ghost coming to dwell inside of his people and his children, those who believed in his name. And once again, a little bit of aside here. I don't even feel like it's necessary. But it's not what we're seeing manifested out there in the world today. That's not it. What the Lord's doing for us here in our hearts and in our lives, and what he will do for any soul that doesn't have to even know all of this and work all this out. They just have to know, I have to put myself aside and I need somebody besides me to come do this work. I need the Lord to come in my life and do this work. Anywhere there's a soul that's doing that, you will see the Lord dwelling in that person and manifesting himself through them by his Holy Spirit. All right? That is the only thing that limits him in our life. He can do whatever is necessary if we come to him in that manner. And so the Spirit came on them and established his new covenant. All right, let's turn over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. So, I want us to section off what we've talked about. And now we're kind of summing up we take this and we go from here and what? What do we do? It says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? All right? which ye have of God. So what does all that mean? You are not your own. And I want to tell us all in the fear of God, don't live like you're your own. If you are, stop it. You're not living as a part of the church of God. If you are living as though you're your own person and just handling the doctrines and handling whatever else yourself, you are not living as a child of God. You are not living the way you're supposed to. Lay it down. Lay down who you are. Lay down your carnality. Don't pretend. People want sometimes to carry carnality and pretend that they're living for God. That's not working. That's not going to help anything. We talked a little bit about that in the young people's. You're not helping. You're causing a... Lord, help us. I need to say this, but I want to say it the right way. With the help of the Lord, and I say it to myself, it's to everyone here. If I am not willing to give up ownership of my life, then I am not contributing to the blessings of the Holy Spirit in my life or to the body of Christ. I need to stop pretending that I am. I need to go do something about whatever it is that's interfering with me, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me the way it should and manifest the righteousness, forgiveness, goodness, love, temperance, meekness, all those things that the Spirit is working to manifest in my life. I need to get rid of whatever's hindering that. And if there's a part of me that's not manifesting, I see the fruits of the Spirit are not what's coming out of my life, I don't need to keep playing games and pretend that that's okay. That I'm a part of the church of God and so that's fine because I'm not helping. In fact, I'm causing problems. I don't even have to know that I'm causing a problem. You're causing a problem. I have to know that it always will. It will never fail to cause a problem when we're not putting ourselves on the cross and getting carnality out of the way in every way that we recognize it's being manifested in our life and putting it out there, because only then can the Holy Spirit truly work to manifest Himself and to manifest His unity and His blessings through His people because of my contribution to the situation. All right? And so it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God. You glorify God when you put aside who you are and put Him on the cross and let the Lord be manifest through your life. All right? That, there's no other way. You can sit here and say praise God all day long. It's just words. That's all that's coming out until I'm willing to put myself aside and let the Lord manifest Himself through me. And then it's so much more than words. It doesn't even have to be words. It doesn't even have. I mean, I want you to. There's a problem sometimes that we don't open our mouth when we should, you know, every once in a while and give God some praise. But it doesn't even have to be words. It's manifest just by the Spirit that is seen out of our life. And there comes the unity and the blessings of the Lord on us as an individual and on us as a body. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, last verse here, last set of verses, Luke 11. And we'll start with the 11th verse. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, carnal, less than the perfection that is God, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And our burden this morning, the indwelling nature of the Spirit, that the Lord will want, that's what He, everything happened to set this up for us to have. He wants to give it to you. He absolutely does. The only thing that interferes is whether you're willing to acknowledge that you need Him and to push aside who you are in every way, and to continue to do that through your life as God reveals to you areas where your carnality is being shown, where there's some carnality being shown in your life, or a temptation to show carnality. We could even say it that way. If you're willing to do that, then the Lord will come and He will give the Spirit to you. So it's not a limitation on His part. He gave it when He established His covenant, and all the way to the time we're standing in until the end of this world, He said it was forever, that He was giving Him to us forever. So it's still available to us just as much today to do its work in our life. And the only thing that limits it is when we're not willing to take the steps that must take. You must believe in Jesus. You must then acknowledge that you need somebody besides you to help manifest the righteousness of God through your life. And then you have to start being willing, as He puts His finger on things, to nail it to the cross and keep it on that cross. Because that cross is not going to be thrown off a cliff somewhere. It's going to be sitting in your front yard. It's going to manifest what you put on it. All right? And that's where it needs to be and where it needs to stay. And it's going to have an opportunity to crawl off that cross and come back in your house. So you're going to need to continue to say, no, Lord, I don't want anything of me. I only want You. You know, that's how you really ask. You don't ask by saying, give me the Holy Spirit. You ask by taking those simple actions in your life. And when you do that, then He can come in and manifest Himself. You pray for me.